So, Saints, what is our sermon title? All right, let us pray. Gracious God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this day, and thank you especially today for the gift of women. Gracious God, we thank you for specifically deciding that women have a purpose. We thank you, Lord, for creating us to be beautiful, intelligent, creative beings that know a living Lord, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you speak to us through the gift of your word. May we all be blessed and made into the new creatures of Christ that you created us to be. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, saints. We got through this sermon this morning, but I saw an awful lot of yawning. So I'm going to put you all on notice. I'm watching. Hold it together. I don't want to hear nobody telling me later. I zoned out on that section of the sermon. You know, sometimes it's hard putting these messages together. We try to keep them creative, but it's not easy. So take some notes. You know, give each other a little shove now and then. Make sure you're woke. Especially if you feel like something's really not pertaining to you, you know, just say, I'm a make myself listen. But saints, one thing that most people really know about me, and you all might know about me, and it's not a secret or anything especially different, is that I enjoy reading. Any readers out there just love to read? All right, wow, it's a lot of readers here. I have always enjoyed reading, and usually most readers do. They have started reading since they were very little kids. And I remember that I enjoyed fairy tales the most. You all know the fairy tales, Hansel and Gretel, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Cinderella. Those were the good books back in the day, huh? But when we would read these books, it was as if we could kind of put ourselves in the story. And we became the characters of the story. And so their story became our story. And the one thing I love about all children is that they have the biggest imaginations in the world. All children, you see, saints, they can be Snow White on Monday. They can be Rapunzel on Tuesday. And for all of our guys, they can even be the little engine that could, or Batman, Superman, and Robin. The point of this illustration, saints, is that when we are born, we all start off pretty much the same. We are all equal. Every single baby and little kid that comes into this world, no matter who our parents are, we are all interested in the exact same things. Let me tell you, eating, sleeping, pooping, and play. That's about it. Most kids aren't interested in anything else. I still remember Terrence. He wanted our son to be so interested in the newest Nikes, the best Nikes. And little T wanted them Spider-Man light-up shoes. Terrence was not happy about the Spider-Man. He was like, why do you want them cheap shoes? I was like, them the best shoes in the world. Let's get them Spider-Man shoes. But children are all interested in the same thing, eating, sleeping, pooping, and playing. And all children, no matter who they are born with, are all born with the same choices. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, that can't be right. We aren't all born with the same choices. Some of us believe that our choices are determined by what type of family we're born into. We think we have better choices if we're born into a rich family than if we were born in a poor family. Somehow, some of us tend to think that children that are born with that, you know, that silver spoon in their mouth have better options than those of us that are born with the plastic spoon in our mouth. But let me tell you something, saints. Our economic status does not change our choices pertaining to God. When it comes to Jesus Christ, we all have the same choices. So you might be saying, well, what are our choices? We all have the choice to acknowledge that there is a God. Choice number one, there is a God. We also have the same choice to acknowledge that not only is there a God, but that there is a God of providence. Providence. Now, what does that mean, providence? Some of us might think it's the same as provider because they sound so much alike. But providence is actually very different from being the provider. God is the provider. God does provide for all of our needs. And notice I said needs and not wants. God is the great provider, but he is also the God of providence. So again, what is providence? Providence is divine guidance. Divine guidance, care, and protection. Especially since, saints, is anybody like me today? You don't necessarily always like God interrupting your life. You know, you think when you leave the church, you kind of got your own life. You can tell God, you know, sit on that shelf while I live my life. Right? You see, sometimes, saints, we don't especially desire God in our life. When we don't recognize that God is the God of providence that has provided for us, especially when we didn't realize it, saints. You see, God is the God of providence. That's the divine leading. And let me ask you, saints, have you ever been in a situation when once you got out of that situation, you said, only God. Only God. Only God got me out of that situation. That was the God of providence. You see, some of us, and you know, I really want to have right now, but if you look, think back to those years when you was like 13, 14, 15, 16, all of your 20s, and some of your 30s, you made some pretty wild choices in your life, amen? Got yourselves in some situations where you were thinking, oh my goodness. And then when you got out of that situation, you thought, oh, thank God. Whew. God saw me through. Now, we're not going to put anybody's business on the street today, all right? But that is our choice, to recognize that God is the God of providence and will be with us even when we want him to be with us and at the times when we don't necessarily want him to be there. So that is our choice, one of our choices, to acknowledge that there is a God and that there is a God of divine providence. And the next choice that we all have is that, how do we trust God? Especially, saints, during the hard times. You see, saints, it's real easy to be all about Jesus when your life is good and you got money in your pockets. It's real easy to be all about God when all of the things are lining up in your life. But what about your trust, your commitment, your faithfulness to God in the hard times? In the hard times when things aren't lining up and things aren't making sense and there's no money in your pocket, what is your choice then? You know, we saw most of the women, a lot of our women were up front today in the choir and they just looked absolutely gorgeous. And the one thing that all of them had in common was, saints, that they're all women, right? All of us that's in here that are female, we can all claim that we're all women. But saints, that's kind of where it stops at. We're all very different women. Every single one of us in here, we look different, we act different, we sound different, we have different jobs, different backgrounds, different attitudes, saints. But even though we're all different women, we all have the same choices when it comes to God. Now, saints, I just want to forewarn you that my sermon will not give us all the complete picture this afternoon. My sermon will not be the whole thing because we just do not have enough time. We'd be here all day. And you all are already looking at your clock. I know you don't want to be here all day. But I'm already telling you ahead of time, you will not get the complete message. In order to get the complete message, you need to come back at 3 o'clock p.m. and hear Pastor Jackie Bailey. Even that right now, saints, is a choice. You see, I've already told you that I am not going to give to you right now everything that God desires for you to hear today. So your choice today is, will I come back at 3 o'clock and hear the rest of this message that the Lord has for me today? Now, I don't want to make anybody feel guilty out there, but I'm telling you, you need to come back for your part B. So we all are born with the same choices. And we're going to look at the story of the life of Esther today, because Esther has a lot to speak to us as a woman. Now, many of us are vaguely familiar with Esther. We know a little bit about her. We know that it's a book in the Bible named Esther, right? And we know that Esther lived back in the day just like people like Noah and Moses and Solomon and David. We know that she was Jewish and that she lived before Jesus Christ, amen? We also know that she lived amongst the time, saints, when the Israelites had been... We also know that she lived during the time when the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon. Now, remember, the Israelites were their own country. Then they got taken over because all of the kings kept messing up. Remember, the Bible kept saying they kept messing up. And so God allowed them to be taken over. So the Babylonians took them over first. And after the Babylonians took them over, they thought they were in power and everything was going great. But of course, like every civilization that does not pay attention to God, they too got taken over. So the new country that came to power was Persia. So we got through that. So Esther was growing up during the time frame where Persia was in charge. And we find out from our scriptures that when Esther was a little girl, her parents died. She lost her parents. Anyone in here lost a parent? Sometimes we can think, too, that it's even more difficult when a little child loses a parent. And we don't understand what exactly God is doing for those children or that family. But Esther lost her parents. And when Esther was a little girl, she had to go live with her uncle, Mordecai. This brings us to Esther's first choice. How do we respond, saints? What is our choice when we suffer great loss and tragedy? How do we respond? What is our choice when things in our lives don't go according to our fairy tale plans like in the books? You see, saints, it wasn't Esther's fault that her parents died. It was none of your fault when you lost your parents. Esther didn't do anything to deserve losing her parents. None of us in here that lost a parent or a child or any other relative, you didn't do anything to deserve the loss of a loved one. But Esther, just like all of us, had the same choice that we all have. Esther could choose to trust in God's divine providence for her life, or she could choose to act out, to be angry, and not talk to anybody. You see, Esther, when she lost her parents, she could choose to respect and trust that God had her best interest in mind, or she could become rebellious. You see, saints, it seems today that our people more and more are choosing to be rebellious instead of trusting in God's plan for our lives. You know, how many times have we heard the parents are in jail? That's why the kids are acting out. The parents are on drugs. That's why the kids are acting out. The parents don't care. That's why their lives are so messed up. You know, my parents really didn't care. That's why I'm making bad choices. I was born not with enough money. That's why my life is going so bad. I have a disability, and the list can go on and on and on and on. And saints, I have to confess that I have used some of these same excuses in my life for my bad choices. I have used the same excuses, saints, but the reality was, no matter what, I had the same choices pertaining to God that all of us have in here. We all have the same choices. So when Esther lost her parents, she had to go live with her uncle Mordecai. Now, here's another part of her choice, saints. She could have been really rebellious. She could have said, "You're not my daddy. I don't have to listen to you." Anybody ever heard that? "You're not my mama. I don't have to listen to you." Or she could have realized that God has something special planned for her by allowing her to live with her uncle Mordecai. You know, saints, we never even realize the impact that other people have on our lives. We are not here by luck or chance. We are here because of God's divine providence, saints. But sometimes we go around and say, "Oh, I don't want to be bothered with my neighbors. They just get on my nerves. I don't like my boss." Some of us even say, "I really don't like my pastors very much. I'm going to a new church. I don't like the people I'm sitting next to in those purple chairs." But did you ever think, saints, that God has a purpose for all of us being together, saints? It is not by chance or luck that you are here today. It is because of God's divine providence, and he has something for each and every one of us. Amen? Saints, so Esther's first choice came at a very difficult time in her life. She had lost her parents. She had to move in with her uncle Mordecai. And what did she decide to choose? Did she become this rebellious teenager who no one could stand to be around? Or did she trust in God's providence, saints? Well, I want to report that Esther made the first choice to trust in God. To trust in God. And later on, we see that she's growing up. And Esther comes to her second choice. And her second choice was right in the middle there when she was still kind of young but getting a little bit older. And her second choice surrounded purity. Purity. Now, let me just give you all the layman's term for that word. Some of us haven't heard it for a while. A virgin. She had to decide if she was going to be a virgin or not. She had to decide if she was going to select what God's best was for her life. Now, we all know that purity or virginity can be looked down upon in our world. It is not anything cool to still be a virgin in our world. And what's really interesting, I know, Benita, we're going to get to that point. What's really, really interesting, saints, it's not just the guys that's saying virginity is not cool. It is the ladies saying virginity is not cool. Some of us say it just takes too long. I really don't want to wait that long. I have needs right now. We all have needs, saints. But we can all trust that God knows all of our needs, all of our desires. And his divine providence has already laid out the plan for all of us, saints. Now, saints, I want to say this part very gently. Wake up your neighbor. Tell them to wake up. Tell each other, Pastor Kelly is not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to cause a split in the church or nothing like that. Okay? And please, I know some of y'all are going to say, she was walking up your street later. It's not me, it's God. Trust me, some things that pastors have to say, it's like, can I just please keep it in, Lord? I want these people to still like me after. But saints, I really don't want to hurt your feelings, but I do want to be honest. I don't want to mix words. We are doing a great job here at Glenville of teaching our teens about abstinence and purity and waiting. We are doing a fantastic job. I think we had one teen pregnancy, saints, in like 10 years. 10 years. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. We are doing great on the teen pregnancy, and that's for the kids. Let me be clear. That's for the kids that's coming and participating. I'm not talking about those ones that we only see every once in a while. The ones that are participating, that are learning and growing, being a part of pioneers, youth worship, and in the choir. The ones that really are trying to make it a part of their lives, we don't see teen pregnancy in the saints. So we're doing a good job with our teens. Some kind of way we're struggling with right after they walk across the stage. Got the cap and gown on, and something changes. Where purity doesn't become as important as it used to be, saints. Purity is important in every age. Every age, from 0 to 100 or 120. All of us still have needs. Some of us think that because you are 70 that you don't think about it anymore. Oh, you think about it all the time. Purity is important at every age. I often wonder why God would choose me to be a pastor. Why would God choose me when my background is so broken and I didn't make all the right choices and I got everything just about wrong? And when I was 22 years old, I became pregnant with my first child and I was in college. I was kind of like the people I'm talking about. I was exactly like them. I got through high school and then got my cap and gown and I lost my mind. Stay at home, don't live in the dorm. But what I'm saying is, I wonder why God had chosen me. And I realized that the reason he chose me is because of his divine providence. He knew that one day I would be standing in front of a group of women, and those women, some of them would say, Lord Jesus, I've been just like Esther. I've been making the right choices. But it doesn't seem like any doors are opening for me. Maybe I should do what everyone else is doing. And my word for you today is no. Stay pure. Choose God's way all the time. And God also knew that I would, in that same exact room just today, that I would be talking to some women who were like me, who made it through high school but then struggled in those college years and had to make a decision about purity. And we're sitting there thinking, How can I choose purity when I've already had sex? How can I choose purity when I already have a baby in my belly? How can I choose purity when I have one in my arms? You choose it just like I choose it. You choose it. That's all you got to do. Make the choice. Make the choice. And then when you make that choice, you sit back and watch how God's providence will guide you and your baby, and will protect you and your baby, and will open doors for you and your baby. And I know it's going to be weird, because it was real weird for me to have a big old 9-month belly and tell my baby daddy we can't have sex anymore. Didn't go over too well. Saints, when I chose God, He made a way for no, when I thought there was no way. So Esther's second choice is the same choice that all women and men, girls and boys, have. Esther's second choice was purity. And what did Esther choose, saints? Esther chose to trust in God's providence, and she chose purity. And because she chose purity, God began to open doors for her that she never, ever could imagine. You see, saints, Esther is really a whole lot like us. And right now, it seems like we're making all these choices and decisions, and we really don't understand them because we can't see what's happening behind the scenes. We can't see what God is doing with other people. You see, Esther was making all these right choices, but she didn't understand that God was over here working in a castle for her. You see, Esther was like us, and she lived in this great country that had leaders, and she probably just kind of ignored them a little bit, just like we do. She knew they were there, but she didn't bother with them too much. And Esther lived in this country where the king was named Xerxes. And this king was the partier of all partiers. Some of y'all still like to go to the club. I know you're going to say it's not a sin. You haven't seen a party until you went to King Xerxes' parties. His parties lasted 6 months, saints. All kind of drinks, all kind of guys, all kind of ladies, nonstop for 6 months. They didn't even go home. That's how much of a party it was. So he was the king of the party. And this king had a wife, and her name was Queen Vashti. Now, Esther, again, didn't know anything about what was going on at the castle with the parties and everything. But the king had a wife named Vashti. And one time during one of these six-month shebangs going on that they had going on, these six-month party, the king got a little tipsy. I'm not walking down y'all street, so stop saying that. But the king got a little tipsy, and all his boys was there. Y'all know how y'all guys are. You can't ever do nothing without the fellas being around. So all the fellas was there, and so king gets a good idea. He says, you know what? My wife is so beautiful. She's the most gorgeous lady in town. And I want her to come in here and just show herself off to all of you guys. You know, it sounded good for the guys, didn't it? But Queen Vashti was sitting in the back like, I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. You see, Queen Vashti said to herself, I am a strong, independent woman. I am a strong, independent woman, and I am not doing that. Now, you know, saints, we all know, and men, just close your ears for 1 second. This part not for you. But we all know that men don't always make the best choices and always do the right thing. Sometimes they do some foolish stuff. And we know they foolish, we know they wrong, and we know they need to be told no. But it's always a way to do that. It's always a way to do these things. And praying to God for wisdom and guidance on our men, and that's our husbands, our brothers, our sons, praying to God for wisdom. But see, Queen Vashti, she didn't stop to pray for her wisdom when her husband, her king, said, come and prance around. She just said, no. I'm a strong, independent woman. You know, sometimes I wonder, saints, if our being strong, independent black women are holding us back a little bit. We wear that like a badge of honor. I'm a strong, independent black woman. I say it all the time myself. I'm guilty. But I wonder, saints, because, you see, that scripture that says, when we are weak, He is strong. We cannot be strong without Jesus Christ. And then that part when we say, I'm independent, that means you're trying to do everything by yourself. And we cannot do anything by ourselves. Men and women, we all need each other, and we especially need God. So Vashti, I wish you had to just pause a moment and figure out a different way to go about resolving her husband's foolishness. And I want you to know, ladies, sometimes when our guys do make the foolish decision and there is nothing else to do but to say no, stand up and say no. Now, Vashti's no caused her crown, and she became divorced. But sometimes we do need to walk away from some situations. We need to walk away, run. Some of our guys, I think about when they talk about domestic violence and abuse, and we think that only the ladies are being hurt. But no, our men, sometimes you need to walk away. If the girl is violent, run, run. So, but Vashti said no, and she lost her crown. And again, Esther didn't know any of this stuff was going on. She really didn't. She did not know that God was putting things in place for her. And I want to backtrack, because I talked to the women, and I want to make sure you all know, when King Xerxes, when he wasn't making the wise choice with his buddies, sometimes, fellas, you know, you might not want to get all your advice from the guys. You know, especially if they're doing the same dirt you doing. You really don't want to get your advice from the friends. You know, I love this story. It was a recovered drug addict, and he talked about climbing out of the pits of drug and alcohol abuse. And he said the problem was he was getting all of his advice from those that was down in the pit with him that were drug addicts. You cannot get advice from those of you that are leading a wild lifestyle. You can't get advice from the ones that are leading the same life as you are. So the king here, he took his friend's advice, saints, and he said, come on in here. Show off your good stuff. And she said, no. And his friend said, you gonna let her talk to you like that? Excuse me, King, you gonna let her talk to you like that? If you let her talk to you like that, then our wives gonna talk to us like that. You gotta do something about that. So the king got all puffed up. He said, yeah, she can't talk to me like that. Give me your crown, you're divorced, you're out of here. Sounded good at the moment, But later on, after the party was gone and the tipsiness wore off, his common sense started coming back in, the king realized his wife was gone. So can you imagine he was laying in the bed like that? Where my wife at? He was a little lonely. Now you would think the king would humble himself, go to his wife and say, I'm really sorry, baby, could you please come back home? But instead, he listened to his friends again. His friends tell him, oh, you don't need that wife. Hey, you're the king. Why don't you hold a beauty contest? Let all the pretty girls come and you choose a new wife. King says, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Telling you, watch who your friends are, saints. But again, Esther didn't know any of this was happening. So the king puts out a mandate and he tells all the young women that are virgins to come because he's going to choose his wife. Now, just in that statement alone, if the best-looking guy walked through the door right now, I mean good-looking, the right everything, intelligence, creative, loved the Lord, he had every little characteristic lined up and the little money, and he came, a job, and he came and he said, I'm looking for my new wife, but I only want the virgins to stand up. Anybody in the room? Saints, we got to get it together. We got a lot of work to do. Okay. We got a lot of work to do. You never know. Could be happening. You never know. So you see, saints, we wouldn't have very much competition here right now today. Hopefully that will change, though. But in Esther's day, when the good-looking guy came in the room and said, Well, the virgins stand up, all the women in the room would stand up because it was commonplace for everyone to be a virgin back then. So the king had to come up with another way to decide how he was going to choose his bride. So he says, you know what? All of you are going to have 12 months of preparation. 12 months of preparation. 6 months of that, you're just going to be taking baths, getting your skin all moisturized. Can you imagine a six-month bath? Some people are like, yeah, I could do that. So 6 months was just on the bathing and the skin and the oils, and then another 6 months was devoted to the hair, the perfume, and the makeup. That was a lot of preparation, saints. It took time. And today in our world, we don't want to take time for anything. I love watching TV when it says you got the 5-minute makeup routine, the 15-minute workout, you got fast food, dinner prepared in the microwave. Everything is fast. Everything. Women and men are going so fast that it seems like we just don't have the time to take care of ourselves anymore. You know, I'm glad the ladies did the health fair yesterday because they talked about taking the time to go to the doctor, taking the time to go eat a good meal. Not just some French fries. Taking the time to exercise. Taking the time to pray. Taking the time to have real quality relationships, saints. Now, saints, it would seem like we don't have the time to do any of those things. But the key words are, it seems like we don't have time. Seems like we don't have time to do all the things that are good for us, but we always have the time to do the things that are bad for us. Ask yourself, how many hours did you spend watching television just last night? Anybody burned the midnight hours? He was up to 2 o'clock watching TV. Oh, y'all know some of y'all was out watching TV. Cable company would be out of business. Okay, maybe you weren't watching TV. Maybe you were on the internet. How many was on Facebook last night? You know, it's funny. On Facebook, you can go online and you can see who's else online, and you start talking to each other. So some of y'all was watching TV. Some of y'all was on Facebook. Who was on their cell phones? All right. Here we go. You was on a house phone? Okay. But saints, the average American will spend about 5 hours a day just watching television. That's not including your cell phones, the time you're on the internet, the time you're in the iPods. Not account anything else, just your television watching. 5 hours a day is 151 hours a month, saints. The question is not do we have the time, is do we want to take the time? Because we have the time. If you think, I don't have enough time to pray, turn your TV off. Got plenty of time. I don't have time to really spend a quality relationship with my spouse. Turn the TV off, turn that internet off. Turn those, oh, I forgot to say, computer, the games. Turn those games off. You don't have a whole lot of time then. Uh-oh. Demetrius says, stop, time out. All right, Tamika. She in the room. She ain't here today. I'll make sure to send her this message. Demetrius gonna turn his video games off. But do we want to take the time to prepare for what God has in store for our lives? Do we want to take the time to be here on Sunday morning on time? Do we want to take the time to be at life sharing and Bible study to really learn and grow? Do we want to take the time to really spend quality time with each other, not just through Facebook, but real time with each other? Because we really do have the time if we would stop doing some of those other things. So Esther chose to take the time to prepare physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so when it was time for all of these women to go in before the king saw that there was something special about Esther. And it wasn't just her beauty, saints. It really wasn't. You know, Esther and none of the women realized that when they walked into the room, the king was going to give them a choice. And he laid like a table of all these wonderful clothes and jewelry and items all in front of him. He said, choose what you want. Woo, don't put a pair of shoes and jewelry in front of women and say, choose what you want. But he said, choose whatever you want. And Esther said, instead of being greedy, she said, I'm going to allow you to choose what you want me to have. Now, that was some courageous stuff to do, right? You know, saints, I really do not have time today. That is going to be a way future subject, but we are going to touch on the subject of women and money because we are out of balance. Seems like we're either gold diggers on this side or we're taking too less. We're not asking for our worth. And we need to find a balance, saints, because women do need to get paid for their worth and their value, just like men do. But we also do not need to take advantage of our brothers in Christ with their money. So that's a future sermon. So Esther chose humility and grace. And she chose this delicate balance of figuring out that she needed to be humble before the king. And when the king saw that, it won his heart. And he said, that's the woman for me. And he chose Esther. And see, Esther didn't realize all of this time way back when she had lost her parents and she had to move to this new house and she had to go through 12 months of baths and stuff like that. She did not realize that God's providence was already guiding and leading her and making a way, and that God was going to take her from this little girl to this queen, to a queen. Now, you see, ladies, I know you're thinking Esther's choices. Her choice ended right there, but it didn't. A lot of us as singles, we think marriage life is so much better. We think when we get married, all of our problems are going to be resolved. Any married ladies in the house, please tell your single sisters it don't get better. Ooh, life is still very hard. Thank you, Pastor D. Life is still very hard. So you would think that Esther's life was going to get a whole lot easier, but it didn't. She still had another choice to make. You see, right after Esther became queen, she found out from her uncle Mordecai that there was a plot to kill all the Jews. Some people compare it to like Hitler. He wanted to kill all the Jews. So Esther found out about this from her uncle. And when her uncle came to her, he said, Esther, you have been made queen for such a time as this. You see, sometimes we think we get our positions in life and our status in life so we can relax and chill back. But God is saying, you have been made exactly who you are for such a time as this. The world is trying to bring down our people. And we women have been chosen to be women at such a time as this to be women that God can use. To be men that God can use. You know, when Esther went to go talk to her husband, you would have thought she would have been able to just say, hey, you know, don't kill those Jews. But it wasn't that easy. You see, up until this time, Esther hadn't told anyone that she was Jewish. It was a complete secret. Only her and her uncle Mordecai knew. And her uncle had told her, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Now, many of us would think, that's kind of weird. Why would you not want to share your faith? Why would you not want to share your faith? And I read this statement, saints, and it talks about how sometimes you need to gain people's trust first. Next time you're with a Jehovah's Witness, don't be so quick to say, I'm a Christian. Next time you're with a Muslim, don't be so quick to say, I'm a Christian. I don't need all of that. Let us learn to be quiet. Gain their trust. Let them see how a Christian really lives. Then maybe later when it's the time and God has opened some doors, you can say, hey, I know you're a Muslim or a Mormon or whatever you might be, but let me tell you a little bit about Jesus. Saints, Esther also teaches us about a time to be quiet and a time to speak. Now, I know we've all heard this before, but sometimes we just think we got to speak our mind, we got to say what we got to say, and we got to say it now. But Esther was very wise. She's very wise, and she learned there's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. And saints, because she had learned that she had made all these choices and she trusted in God's providence, God put her in the position that when it was time to go speak to her husband, she could say, "My husband, I know that there's this plot to kill all the Jews. But if you kill all the Jews, that would include me." And that was big for her to say. But because she said it, and she was bold about who she was, and she finally could be fully her faith, she saved her entire people. She saved all of them. And the story could continue. Well, it seems, saints, that Esther made all the right choices. And I know you're probably thinking, well, what does that mean for me? Because I know you all already know my story. I definitely didn't make all the right choices. And I know some of your stories. You definitely didn't make all the right choices. And you may be sitting there thinking, there is no way that God is going to make me a queen. I am the exact opposite of Esther. How could he choose me? And my words to you is that it's not just being a queen, it's being a woman that God can use. You see, that's what Esther did. She became the woman that God can use. And I know some of us are sitting here thinking, I am a little bit like Esther. I made the right choices, but God didn't open doors for me. What does that mean for me? Well, saints, I'm going to tell you. You need to come back at 3 o'clock p.m. I already told you this was half of the message. There are those sitting here today that are like me, that you made every wrong decision under the sun. But God is telling you, you are a woman that God can use. There's women that are sitting here that you've made the right choices, but you're not sure where you're supposed to go next and what you're supposed to do. But you too are the woman that God can use, saints. Men, do you want a woman that God can use in your life? How do you do that? You become a man that God can use. Because let me tell you, every single woman in here will tell you that a man that God can use is the best looking man in the whole room. But if we want to learn how to do this, if we want to learn how to be men and women and children that God can use, we need to come back at 3 o'clock p.m. I already told you, God has more in store for you, more for you to hear today. But it is your choice to make. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good. You are so amazing, so wonderful, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you look down upon each and every one of us and you decided to create us. You said, Lord, that we are worthy of life, that we are worthy that your Son came and died on the cross on our behalf, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you yet still have for all of our lives, Lord Jesus. So we're praying, Holy Spirit, that you would touch the hearts of all of us, Lord. Because even though we strive toward perfection, none of us are perfect. None of us make the right decisions at all times and all places, Lord. We always need you to forgive us. We always need you to pardon us. We all need your blood, Lord Jesus. So I'm praying, Lord, right now, that if there's one out there that doesn't know you, or more than one out there that doesn't know you, that they will give their hearts to you, Lord Jesus, and trust in your divine providence for their lives. And for those of us that do know you, Lord Jesus, you know, Lord, that we need to grow, that we need to get better, that when next time comes around and somebody says, "Is it a virgin in the room?" somebody stands up and shouts, "Here I am, Lord Jesus." So we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives, and we give you the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen, amen.